For a long time, Jackie was plagued by shame and guilt and didn't want to tell anyone. When she came to know the Lord personally, it struck her that He knows everything.
Well, I guess you already know then. So I don't have to be fearful. But wait, it says that you love me still. No matter what I did or I feel ashamed about, I just need to tell you.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of The Wonder of His Name, for Friday, March 9th, 2018. While growing up, Jackie was well acquainted with hurt and pain. She told the story yesterday here on Revive Our Hearts. Her father was absent, and she felt that loss. Then another man abused her at age 9. She came to resent men, even as she married her husband. Jackie came to know the Lord, but still was in bondage to a lot of sinful patterns. She told us that story yesterday, and if you missed it, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. We'll hear from Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth in a few minutes. But first, Carrie Gall is talking with Jackie about the freedom she found in Christ. The Lord used Nancy's book, Lies Women Believe, and the Truth That Sets Them Free.
So in the book, Lies, she talks about, you know, the section that says, I can't help the way I am. I was such an angry, volatile, ugly human being, and I expected everybody to just deal with it. Look, I've been hurt, I have been wronged, and I have the right to lash out. So y'all need to just deal with it. And that was like, that was where I was coming from, and I believed that. I believed that I'm a victim of circumstance, and so I have the right to behave this way. I have the right to be angry and the right to be bossy. I am the way I am, and I can justify it, right? Because I've practiced that for years because I did not have a father, because I was abused by a man at the age of 9 sexually. Because of these things, I don't like men, and I will not like men. Therefore, I will love women. And so I had an affair with a woman while I was married to my husband. And by God's grace, my husband did not lash out. He did not retaliate. Do you know what he did? He poured the word of the Lord over me. He prayed over me. And we went to our pastor. I told our pastor. And my pastor told me, this is sin. I said, yes, I know. He said, you need to stop. I said, yes, I know. And literally, the Lord severed that. And this was early on in our relationship. This was like months into our marriage. And I think God used that to just launch me into this other new world of understanding womanhood and manhood and how He created that to be sacred and to be a holy covenant between one another. But I think in our culture now, man, is that supposed to be acceptable? And I think He's using that experience in my life to help me teach other women I know that are battling and are tripping up over that sinful, that lie. They're tripping up over that lie that says that I deserve this. I am this way because I am. I have my rights. I can do what I want to do. I'm supposed to be happy. And boy, I tell you what, those lies can circulate and then create a monster. That's not the way the Lord intended things to be. And I think I avoid talking about it because it's so shameful. And it was so hurtful to my husband. But like I said, by God's grace, He has just been an amazing man, a man that I never knew before. Praise God, for sure. And my husband and I have been together for 20 years. We've been married for 16. And the last 10 have been amazing. And we have 3 beautiful children that were all adopted.
Jackie, would you talk to the woman today who's struggling with same-sex?
Yes.
Attraction.
And yes.
Maybe hiding behind that, afraid.
Yes.
As you've said that you were, to share even the struggle with that.
Yes, I know that some women think that the only person that will ever understand them is another woman. And they take comfort in the refuge of having a woman understand them in a way that a man never could. But I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And once you realize that he loves you more than anybody could ever love you, that will start releasing that lie from your thought process. I pray very faithfully for lesbian women because I think they're caught up in one of the most detrimental lies. We can't procreate. We can't love in a holy covenant way if we're doing that. And so I wear this bracelet to remind me to pray for my sisters that are lost, that are broken, that are afflicted in that way.
Yeah. And we want to say God loves them.
Amen.
And
he does. He loves the sinner, all of us.
Amen. Amen. That's all of us.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie, for being sensitive to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And one of the lies the devil makes us believe is that I can't be honest or I can't be open. And that's not to say that every issue we've ever struggled with should always be out there for everybody. There's discretion. There's appropriate context. Obviously, if this was not something you'd worked through with your husband, then it wouldn't be appropriate for you to be saying that here. But there's this sense, and there, you know, there may be somebody in this room or listening to this conversation who thinks, I could never say that out loud because it does feel so shameful. I have to stay in the darkness. It's not just homosexual sin. It's heterosexual sin. It's any kind of sin. I remember a woman coming to me who years earlier had had an affair with a man and had never told her husband. This was decades later. She's telling me this. And this was something she had decided she was going to go to her grave with. And her husband didn't know, but because of the shame and the secrecy, she had never been able to have the level of intimacy with her husband that they should have been able to have. Two committed Christians. He had no idea why. She knew why, but she couldn't say. And she came and said, I've been hearing you talk about walking in the light, and God has shown me this is something I need to share with my husband. So she wasn't asking me, should she? She said, I know, I need to. Will you help me know how to do this? And we prayed and cried, wept, went to the cross. She went to her husband. It was really, really hard. But God was preparing her husband's heart. God had been preparing her heart. And the lie you keep believing is that I would be better off living in the shadows with the secret, even if it means we're just going to exist in our marriage, then coming out into the light. If you come out into the light, you will be rejected. You will not be able to move forward. Nobody will accept you. And that woman and her husband would both tell you today, as I think you and your husband would, that as hard and painful as it is to walk into the light, it is so freeing when you do it in grace.
Amen.
And when you get to Christ, there's nothing inherently virtuous about saying, I messed up. But when you're coming out of secrecy and hiding and shame, that's what David says in Psalm 32, when I kept silent about my sin, it ate me up. I mean, day and night, he said, your hand was heavy upon me. If you've got God's hand heavy upon you, thank him for it. We've all experienced that. It's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if he's making your life miserable because of something, and it may not be something that seems that massive to you, whatever it is, walk into the light. And that's where you find mercy. He said, when I confessed my sin, when I acknowledged my sin, you forgave me. I'm thinking of Proverbs 28, verse 13, that says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses it and forsakes it will have mercy. Okay, what's the mercy? It was your husband's grace, it was his forgiveness, but it's also the mercy of God to rescue you from a way of thinking about yourself as a woman, from a way of thinking about other women, from a way of thinking about men, all of those ways that seemed right to you were going to lead to spiritual death. And God was merciful because you were willing to walk into the light with your husband to, and with the Lord, he was merciful to say, I'm going to give you a whole new way of thinking and living. I'm going to let you not think that something that is abnormal is normal. I'm going to let you learn that what is holy is good and is beautiful and it's worth having. And you know, when you're willing, not only back in that moment, I've shared about women saying, you know, for 18 years, I never told anybody I had an abortion, or a secret struggle I have with pornography, or there can be all kinds of, not just sexual sins, other sins as well. But when you're willing to step into the light with God and get his grace, his forgiveness, his transforming power in your life to have holy affections instead of disordered affections, to be freed from your idols. Here's something else that can happen next, and you just illustrated it. That's, you can then become an instrument of God's grace and his mercy in someone else's life. So if you have this past experience with the Lord in your marriage, in your life, and whatever, you've dealt with the Lord, but you're not free to ever let the walls down and share with somebody else who might need to hear that.
That's right.
Then you're still not really free.
Right. And when we bring the sin into the light, there's no power. There's no power there.
Because the power's in the secrecy.
Only power. That's right. That's right. And then also with my experience with the Lord and how much he loves me and how much he said, you know what, baby, I got you. I got you washed. I've got you clean now. You can start a fresh new day with me. Then you're like, wow. That's
and then
grace.
God can use you as an instrument of mercy and grace
towards
in someone else's
yeah,
life. There
right.
are how many women, probably some in this room, certainly lots listening to this conversation, who are struggling with that same-sex attraction. It's a battle. And they think, I could never tell anybody. I could never change. Maybe they're having that affair with that other woman right now and nobody knows it. Their husband doesn't know it. They haven't acknowledged it, or something else that's in the shadows. But you have walked into the light and you have given hope to somebody else who's still in the shadows that there is mercy when you come into the light. And there are people that God wants to use my life message to reach as I say, here's how God met me in this battle, this temptation, this failure, this lie I was believing. There are other people, Jackie, Carrie, others in this room, as you tell your life story, not exalting your sin or yourself, but exalting the Savior and his redeeming power and grace. They're people that God wants to use you to speak into their lives. They may never listen to me. But they're thinking as they listen to you, wow, she's been there. And if God had mercy for her, God can have mercy for me.
I'm thinking of that verse in Psalm. I can't think of which one it is, but says something like, their faces are radiant, never again covered in shame. And I wish our listeners could see your face, Jackie, because that's the beauty of the story that you've been telling, is just a radiant face that radiates the beauty of Christ in you. Yeah.
And that would be Psalm 34. I want to say verse 7. Is that right? Another translation, those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. So that's exactly a principle. It's a New Testament principle too. When you take off the mask, take off the veil, take off the covering, and you walk into the light of Christ's face, his face transforms. It's his radiance, his light, his glory that shines onto us and then shines through us to somebody else who needs to see his face and his grace.
You know, there's another verse, Nancy, in Hebrews 4, I think it is, that talks about Jesus setting us free. He set free those who through fear of death had been held captive all of their lives. And I always thought that was through fear of physical death, you know, but I think it's so much broader than that. It's the fear of walking into the light. It's the fear of being honest. It's the fear of facing the pain of what you've been through in your past.
And that's where the enemy gets the power all of a sudden. Yes. And then we shift from, and just like that cycle of unworthiness, we're looking in ourselves and we're not looking up because we're so far in here. And that's another lie. It keeps you so far away from the Lord.
Jackie, I just want to ask one more thing. There's so much coming into the light today, even apart from Christian women, about sexual assault. And you experienced this as a 9-year-old girl. You didn't know how to deal with it then. You didn't have Christ. You didn't have grace. Right. But as you came to Christ, you realized that was part of your story, part of what you needed to deal with. I'm thinking of so many women today who are, they've either told or they haven't.
Right.
Hashtag me too.
Yep.
How, just help us think through or help a woman who's carrying that in her past think, how do I begin to walk into freedom about this thing that was done to me over which I had no control?
Well, you know, one of the first things I did when I came to know Christ was the journaling and the prayer time. And I wanted to tell him everything. But I didn't think that I could tell the Lord this because I was dirty and it was gross and it was shameful. But somebody had done this to me. And when I realized that the Lord loves me and he loves all of me and he knows me, in Psalm 139, it tells us that he knit us in our mother's womb. He was there. He is the one that created it. I thought, well, I guess you already know then. So I don't have to be fearful. But wait, it says that you love me still, no matter what I did or I feel ashamed about. I just need to tell you. So I would say I would start with prayer and I would just submit or admit to the Lord anything you're fearful of, because A, he already knows. And B, I think the blessing comes from you speaking the words, and either repenting from the sin of shame or hiding or whatever it is, and saying, Lord, this is yours, and I don't know how you're going to use this, but I need healing and I need help because this was hard. This was hard to live through. And I think the first thing I would do is just pray and speak to your Lord as if he's your friend, because he is.
Yeah. And I love what you said, Jackie, that you were beginning to get honest about not only what had happened, but how you felt about, you were sharing with the Lord all of that. He meets us right where we are, not where we think we should be or wish we were, but in the midst of the pain. I heard or read David Paulison, I think, said, he talked about the psalmic faith and said, often our faith looks very different in the midst of suffering. We say, just don't think about it.
Right.
God is good and he's sovereign and grace is sufficient. Therefore, I don't have to. That was in the past.
Yep.
I'm just not going to think about it. But the psalmist was not afraid to enter in, and that really is the language of lament. That's the hope. The resurrection gives us the hope to be able to enter into that pain with Jesus and let him heal it. Let him take away the sting of
that. Because don't you think that when we aren't willing to share or when we're willing to hide, then we're not living in the abundant grace and what he's created us to be or do. Somebody needs to hear this story and somebody needs to know that you can be brave and you can take this to the Lord, and then he will remove that obstacle so that you can move forward in what he's called you to do.
The truth and I think sets
us
free.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It holds us down when we hold on to that, and either it's anger or unforgiveness or whatever it is, and we hold on to it, that impedes our relationship with Christ. That doesn't get us closer to Christ.
Yeah.
So as soon as we can be honest about those things to ourselves and to our Lord, and then we can move from there. It takes a long time to move from there, by the way. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But I think trusting that the Lord has better things for you and that he did not want that to happen.
Amen.
Yeah. So were there, just a little bit more about the process of dealing with that. Mm-hmm. Were there people you needed or felt it was helpful to bring into that story as well to become aware of that?
Yes. And I think
I'm talking about the abuser when you were a child.
Yeah. So I told immediately. And then I told my mom immediately. Actually, I told my brother first. And my brother told me that if I didn't tell my mom, he was going to kill this guy. And I believed as a 12-year-old, he could. So I told immediately. I told my mom. And this is another interesting piece that I think the Lord is giving me as part of a way of the healing process still. So I believe the Lord gave me Sifted Like Wheat as a title to this book. And I've held it at arm's length because I didn't want to have to rehash all of the pain. But I've been rehashing all of the pain with the Lord sitting right there with me. And that has been the most healing, because according to man, my aunts or my mom or whoever doesn't want to deal with the fact that this actually happened. And it's very shameful. And I get that they're embarrassed that they were not there and I got, you know, taken over or whatever. But the healing part has been, this happened when I was 9. I turned 44 today. I'm writing and I'm in prayer with the Lord all the time. And he's just helping me heal through this. So it's taking a long time, but it's taking me being willing to trust the Lord to guide me through this. And that's really been really beneficial.
And as you got married, is this something you brought into your marriage?
Oh, yes.
How did it impact you in your, just in your intimacy with your husband?
Oh, it was horrible. It was very hard because, you know, I would tell my husband that there were certain things that he did that made me feel uncomfortable. And then he completely retracted. He said, I don't want to be like that man. And so he retracted. And so I think for years there was no intimacy, which, you know, was another piece to, gosh, I'm in this marriage, you know, and my husband, I remember him saying to me, you're here, way over here to the left, and I'm here, way over to the right, and there's nothing in between. And I thought, wow, I'm stuck.
And what began to free that up?
I think our relationship with Christ, just starting to understand who he was, and prayer, and it was ugly. I mean, I remember we sat and read devotions at night, and we would just be snickering each other, but we'd be reading these devotions, and then we'd pray together. And it was just going through the motions and acting as if, hoping that the Lord would do something with it, and he has.
That's Jackie Chesla talking with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth and Carrie Gall about the way God takes broken pieces of our lives and can make something beautiful. The Lord used the book, Lies Women Believe, to get a hold of Jackie's heart and bring big changes to her life. Nancy, we're praying this story will be multiplied over and over among our listeners.
Well, these past 2 days, I've been so encouraged by Jackie's story, and I trust you have too, as we've just seen the power of biblical truth to set God's people free. And now as we're releasing the updated, expanded version of my book, Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free, my prayer is that this book will get into the hands of thousands of women just like Jackie. And I want to ask if you'd consider helping us in that process. When you join our monthly partner team, we'd like to send you 2 copies of this new updated Lies Women Believe and 2 study guides so you and a friend can go through this book together. You'll also receive my teaching on the lies and the truth on CD. Okay, so what is the monthly partner team? I sometimes say that they're the backbone of this ministry. It's a group of listeners who see God at work in the lives of women like Jackie, and they want to support Revive Our Hearts and help us to spread this message. So they commit to support the ministry for at least $30 each month. Some do $30, some $50, some $100, some are able to do even much more than that. But whether it seems like a small amount or a larger amount, humanly speaking, each one of these partners has a significant role in this ministry. And because, as Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, these are people whose heart is in this ministry. So they pray for us, and they help share this message with the people in their sphere of influence. So if you've been blessed by this ministry, if God has used it in your life, if you're excited by what God is doing through this outreach and you want to see it continue and expand and reach more women like Jackie, I want to encourage you to get more details about joining our monthly partner team. We're asking the Lord to send us several hundred new monthly partners in this season, and that's so we can share this message with more women around the world. You can get information about the partner team at reviveourhearts.com. or give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. And thank you so much for your part in helping to make the ministry of Revive Our Hearts possible.
You are following a creed. Everyone is. Even if you don't think creeds are important, a set of beliefs guides your daily actions. Learn to think through those beliefs so that your life is built on truth. Nancy will be back to talk about it on Monday. Please be here for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth wants to help you discover freedom in Christ. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.